One of the young men can give you some chorus sheets. Here's some more. Here's some more. Okay, since we have so many here, let's turn in our, we don't even have regular course books, so I guess we'll have to use this one. All right, let us turn to our song sheets to page two, we're going to sing Roll Jordan Roll, page two in your books there. In your chorus sheet. Page two. Let's all stand together as we sing those. Page two at the bottom. Roll, Jordan, roll. Then we'll sing Heaven, Heaven. Gonna shout all over God's heaven. Oh, brother, you ought to have been there. Yes, my Lord. A sitting in the kingdom. And the third verse is on the next page. Oh, sinners, you ought to have been there. Yes, my Lord, a sitting in the kingdom to hear Jordan roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. Roll, Jordan, roll. I want to go to heaven when I die to hear Jordan roll. Now, right across the page, page two at the top, I've got a robe. I've got a robe. You've got a robe. All of God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my robe. Gonna shout all over God's heaven. 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 Everybody's talking about heaven ain't going there. Heaven. Heaven. Gonna shout all over God's heaven. How many have never sung this one before? Raise your hand. I mean, I've never sung Roll Jordan Roll before. Okay? Some have sung that one. They haven't sung this one. Okay, so these are traditional spirituals written in probably around the 1800s. Really nice songs of heaven. Looking forward to what we have as Christians. So let's sing the second verse. Hopefully you're earning a crown. Does anybody know how many crowns there are in the scriptures to earn? Five. Five crowns. Let's list them out. One, you should be aiming to earn one of these crowns. What are the five crowns? Who could tell us one of them? Lydia? Soul winner's crown. That's the crown of rejoicing. Okay, that's if you win people to Christ. What's another crown we should be aiming to earn? Yes? The crown of life. That's the one for those who love his appearing. They get the crown of life. So if you're waiting for the Lord, you're confessing your sins regularly, that's a good one to aim for. So that way you're always ready if the Lord should come back. If the rapture should happen today, or if you should die in a car accident, you're ready to meet the Lord, and you will earn the crown of life if you're ready. Okay, what's another crown we can earn? Crown of glory. That one was the one for those that love his appearing. So the crown of life must be the martyr's crown. Is that right? Okay, martyr's crown is the crown of life. Okay, I got them confused there. So if you give your life for Christ, you'll earn that martyr's crown. There's two more. What are the two other crowns you can earn? Two more crowns. One is the victor's crown. What is the victor's crown? 1 Corinthians 9:27. They that run the race run all, but we run to obtain the crown. That's the crown for running and keeping your body in subjection to the Lord and basically running a disciplined Christian life. And then there's the last crown. You can earn it if you're a faithful church member and you're supporting a faithful soul-winning New Testament soul-winning church pastor. What's that last crown? If you're a faithful church member, you attend church and you're supporting a faithful pastor, that's the crown of what? Peter talked about it. 1 Peter 2 says the crown, the elder's crown. Okay, that's the elder's crown. That's the pastor's crown. And church members will help the pastor to win that crown. So let's sing the second verse. I've got a crown.
I've got a crown. You got a crown. All of God's children got a crown. When I get to heaven, gonna put on my crown. Gonna shout all over God's heaven. 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 Everybody talking about heaven ain't going there.
Out together in prayer as we begin tonight. Deacon Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear God, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for the rain you have sent, the blessings from the rain, Lord. We thank you. And we thank you, Lord, tonight that we can be in your house.
Amen.
Sing the hymns that glorify the name of our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for each one who has come. We ask you, Lord, to bless the Bible studies tonight in your classrooms, the teachers, the students, each one alone, and be encouraged. What a thing of God. Now for those who can't be with us tonight that are going through time of sickness, we ask a healing touch on their bodies to raise them up and that they can be with us soon again.
Amen.
Bless tonight, Lord, and may everything that's done bring glory to your Son, Jesus. In his name we ask it.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's a blessing to be together tonight. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. It's good to have some visitors with us as well. Does anyone need a bulletin? It says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Just keep your hand up and Evan or Messiah will get you a bulletin. Okay. Anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. Anyone up here? Anyone back there? Okay. You can give them out to the visitors, Messiah. Go ahead. You can give it out to the visitors. They would like one. All right. So just by way of announcement... keep praying for Kenny and Dawn as they are moving soon. Did you get a date yet, Dawn? No, not yet. Kaylin is leaving the 15th. That's next Saturday. So we were wondering this Sunday night we were going to do something for Kaylin this Sunday night after church. Cake fellowship, afterglow, food fellowship. Would that work for you and Kenny as well? 7 o'clock service? Okay. Rather than a lunch that may or may not work, you know, depending on. Is that good? Okay, sounds good. All right, so this coming Sunday night, we're going to have a food fellowship, farewell send-off for Sister Dawn and Brother Kenny, as well as Kaylin Richardson, so we will miss them very much. So we are going to throw them a big party, and so bring food out Sunday night for that, then... Pray for Tricia and Evan as they leave pretty soon for the wedding. When are you leaving?
Either the 20th or the 24th.
Okay. Okay, and then when are the Hodges leaving for going out? 24th. Okay, 24th. That's Saturday?
Yeah.
Saturday the 24th. Okay. So let's pray for the Hodges as well as they leave the 24th to go take Kaylin down, or at least go get her settled down there. All right, and pray for VBT coming up July 1st through the 5th. And pray for the plans for that this Saturday. Who knows what this Saturday is? We got something special going on this Saturday, Zaria. The gardening and shed raising party. We're going to have a shed raising party and a garden party, and they're going to have food. Okay, donuts, fruit, juice, breakfast, lunch provided, and we're going to get some things done around here. So please block out your Saturday 10 to 2 to help us get these things ready. And Mr. Hodge, if Darnell and I can have your help on Friday to get like the foundation for the shed started, that way we can Saturday we can be putting screws on, if that would be possible, putting the shed up. All right, any other announcements need to be mentioned? All right, it's good to have some visitors with us. I know they were here last year, but can you introduce yourselves again for us this year? That would be great.
Sure. My name is Ray.
Yes.
This is my wife, Chris. This is my baby, Autumn.
All right.
This is my grandson, RJ. My son, RJ. This is my wife, Brittany.
Awesome.
My daughter, Ashley. My daughter, Tiffany. Her husband, Daniel. And all the grandchildren. It's Kenzie, Haley, RJ.
All right. Wonderful.
Brandon and William.
All right. Wonderful. And so you're expecting?
Oh, yeah.
When's he or she due?
October 9th.
All right. Okay.
Well, Autumn, girl.
Autumn, okay, wonderful.
Yep.
All right, that's exciting.
Pleasure to be here.
Amen. And how's Pastor Panichetti doing?
He's doing well.
Good.
Continue to keep up on prayer. We're in search of a building.
Okay.
We left our old building, so
okay.
We're searching for another one.
Okay. All right. And Pastor Panichetti, senior's church or junior's church?
Senior.
Senior, okay.
Yep.
You know the Stalls then, Dave and Danielle?
Oh, yeah, very well.
They were here on Sunday,
okay.
Last Sunday, not this Sunday.
Yep, they're like family to us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
And so we've been praying all year, actually, since you guys were here last time for church, and then they've been keeping us up to date. So,
awesome.
Praying in the catering hall, we're praying for you with that's working out. So.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. It's always good to have church members of like faith and practice with us. So we are glad that you guys are keeping by the stuff. All right, and just let us at this time ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the help of the money about the feet of the Lord. Just want to pray, amen.
Amen. All right, just by way of prayer, we're going to take some prayer requests now and answers to prayer. So if you'd like a prayer list, I don't know if we have any prayer lists in the back, but if you can write down the prayer requests and keep note of them, that way we can pray for them when we all break up into our groups in a few minutes. All right, first we'll find out our answers to prayer, how the different ministries are going in the church. So we'll start with Carrie. Can you tell us how the baby ministry, mom's ministry is going?
It's going really well. We don't have one person here who we're able to reach out to, one of her friends on Sunday evening. This young lady is in a situation that's been really good for the team. So we had a little more opportunity in person, but this is another congrats. Pastor Lord made at Summers Point, and he wants to get in touch with somebody else. There's a clinic, she's a clinic in Southern Philippines, she has addressed you for, and so she's going to be contacting us soon for, if I can, for trip-wise, if I can be bringing the package to both directions, it's better just to go through her for delivery, but the greatest blessing in all of this is as it stands, we're able to put in, you know, the gospel track.
Why don't you share about what the package is that you give to new moms and expecting moms?
Some of the young people here have also got these packages home as well, too, for their business that we're talking about. This is, we did have a little gift bag, and we got it full of good condition infant clothes. Usually, 0 to 3 5 newborn diapers, wipes, two sizes, two, and different little things that come to the way. Maybe that's a whole bag of bags, let's go to our baby bath or something. Dominique actually was able to talk to one of her co-workers and was struggling and was considering an abortion, and her co-worker decided to test it, so we do all spend a lot of time with her, and with her term, we're going to learn Spanish to this, we've got to start seeing us in a lot of ways, so please be praying for this on this street, so.
Amen. All right. Okay. And how did the other ministries of the church go? The outreach ministries, we'll start with Atlantic, went well today. I was there, and that went well. We had about 7 or 8, and we had a new lady. Her name was Carol, and she is saved. So praise the Lord, a new lady has come into that ministry. Then also, how did Caring go? We started the Caring ministry today. Carol, why don't you share about the Caring ministry?
Some came and went because they can't sit still for a lengthy period of time, but we were able to get to know them a bit, get to sing and praise the Lord with them. Pastor gave a good message about being born again, the Nicodemus story, and they were eager for us to come back. It's nice to be asked to come back, not have to ask if we can come back. And they were asking for us to come back. So I pray to the Lord that it did let go very well.
Amen. Essie and Elsie were great hosts and getting us in there, and they are really excited about the ministry. Two professions of faith today, a man named Claude and Ernie, and then another man made a assurance decision. So we praise the Lord, already two salvation decisions through that new outreach at Caring Adult Day Center in Delilah Road there in Pleasantville. All right, any other blessings to share? Any other blessings to share today? Something you're thankful for, Valentina? What are you thankful to God for? Anyone else? What are you thankful to God for tonight? Before we give prayer requests, is your opportunity. Evan?
I'm thankful at the end of June of beginning a new sister-in-law.
All right, yes. Gaining a family member. Shay will be coming into the family. Anyone else? All right, prayer requests. Now we'll take prayer requests. Sahara?
Can you pray for some of the boys in any point who keep getting into trouble with the cops?
Okay. All right. Do we know any of them?
Yes, you know, the usual.
Okay.
Jack, Dario, Dom, and David, and Shane.
Okay.
Many more.
All right, let's pray for them to get serious.
But actually, they weren't involved in
that. Get serious about the Lord. And all right, Azaria. Okay. Anyone else? Dominique. Oh no. Was this just recently?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Do you know the name at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's pray for Dominique's co-worker's cousin. Anyone else? Pray for salvation, most importantly. Yes, Layla. What's his name? Logan? Logan? Okay, let's pray for Logan. Anyone else? Yes?
Pray for my wife's brother. His name is Eric Silver. 28 years old. He just had open heart surgery Thursday last week. Running into some complications. And they haven't been sedated right now. He has double pneumonia.
Mm.
Praying for him. Pray for salvation for him and his family.
Okay. Eric Silver. 28. And so still has the pneumonia? Open heart surgery, so pray for Eric. All right, anyone else? Yes. Pat. Princess Selma? Selman? Princess Selman, pray for two heart attacks. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, this, of course, about the Baptist Church, but my wife and her labor coming in October, Lord willing, with the baby. And also, the rest of our vacation up here, we're up here till the end of the weekend, around the weekend.
Saturday. Okay.
We're protection and blessing will be.
Amen, amen. Brother Raines. And what's your wife's name, brother?
Chris.
Chris, okay. Pray for Chris Raines. Little Autumn coming. Pray for Bethel Baptist that they find a building. All right, any others that need to write down? Yes, go on. Okay. Pray for Kenny's health. Anyone else? Yes, Sahara.
Can you pray for my teacher again?
Okay, all right. We'll pray for the usual with the teacher. Okay, all right. Pray for all the school kids to finish out strong. All right, at this time now, we'll break up into groups. So whatever adult you're sitting near, you're going to pray with them, okay? Except for these two front rows, you don't have any adults. So, let's see, let's have, what's that? You're picking on the visitors, all right, okay. All right, Brother Raines and his wife, do you mind praying with this front row of kids here? And then the second row, you guys go back to where Brother Raines and or the Raines family is. You're going to pray with them, okay? They're believers too, so you guys will get along just fine. Yeah, you four. Layla, Azaria, on down. Alzina, Devon, they're going to move back there, okay? All right, so everyone else has people to pray with, okay? Okay, Blessing and Melina, why don't you pray with Mrs. Slepidus and Evan? And then... Mrs. Slepidus, Melina, you go with Mrs. Slepidus, right over there. Okay, Miss Dominique is going to pray with Miss Carrie and Miss Dawn and the kids back there. All right. So good. Mhm. All right. tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13, we're looking at friendships tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 13. As we look at friendship, we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, and we're going to evaluate whether the people were good friends or bad friends. So you're going to help us out tonight. 2 Samuel 13 and verse 1. Okay, 2 Samuel 13, verse 1. And we'll read it, and then we'll evaluate it. Okay, so I'll read it. "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on a bed and make thyself sick, etc., etc." Okay, so here we see a friend, Jonadab to... Jonadab to Amnon. Okay, was he a good friend or a bad friend?
A bad one.
Okay. A bad one. Why, teens? Why was he a bad friend? Well, this is only for teenagers. Adults 18 and over can't answer. Sorry. You're on your own, teens. Okay, so why was Jonadab a bad friend to Amnon? Darnell? Because he influenced him to do what? Bad things. Very evil things, okay? So he was a very evil friend. And this is very sad. The Bible, you know, doesn't paint a glossy picture of anybody. You know, it doesn't give us just the good. You know, that's how you know that the Bible is true, because even the giants of the faith, still we see their warts and we see their shortcomings, we see their sinful choices. Noah, you know, with all the great things Noah did, we still know that Noah got drunk, you know, and made bad choices. With all the great things David did, we know about David's sin. So the Bible, that's how you know the Bible is true, because the Bible not just gives the good, but the bad as well. Whereas the other books, on the other hand, okay, look at the Book of Mormon, or the book about Joseph Smith, you know, only tells the good things. Muhammad, in his Quran, only tells the good things about Muhammad, and only tells that, you know, doesn't talk about all his wives and the fact that he married a 9-year-old girl and had her to wife and all these crazy, disgusting things. Okay, so that's how you know the cult's writings are not true, because they only say good things about the person. Well, the Bible says the whole truth. Okay, so that's another verification of the Bible. Okay, so Jonadab was an evil friend, an evil influence to Amnon. Let's look at another friend, Ruth 1:16. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. That's back in the Old Testament. If you find Joshua, Judges, right after Deuteronomy, you'll find Ruth. Okay, let's have a young lady read this one. Or a lady can read it as well. Who wants to read it? Since it deals with ladies, we want to have a lady read it. Yes, Dominique? Ruth 1:16. Go ahead, Dominique. Yeah. Okay, so how was Ruth to her mother-in-law? You know, we hear all the bad mother-in-law jokes. You know, the ones that say, oh, you know, everyone in your family is good except your mother-in-law. And then there's always these mother-in-law jokes. Well, here we have Ruth, who was a daughter-in-law, and Naomi was the mother-in-law. But how did Ruth treat her mother-in-law? Was she a good friend or a bad friend? Good friend. Why? What did she say? Respectful. Okay, she had respect to her mother-in-law. Okay. What else? Faithful, okay? She didn't want to leave her mother-in-law in her time of need. You know, Naomi just lost, of course, her husband, but now her three sons, you know, and so she's not going to leave her hanging out to dry with no one left. Okay, what else shows Ruth's good friendship? No, this is to anybody right now. Okay, yes, she wouldn't leave her. That's faithful. Good. And she'll lodge where she lodges. Okay, she's going to live with her. Okay, that's a good way to take care of your parents. Take care of your grandparents. Don't make them have to wonder, oh, no, is anyone going to love me? Are they going to throw me in a nursing home? Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, that's one of the worst fears parents, grandparents can ever have. Don't do that. Love your parents. Love your grandparents. Take care of them, even if it's burdensome, even if it's hard. Guess what? When you were little, they changed your diapers, and they took care of you. And they didn't say, oh, you know, I don't know if we're going to feed this little baby because she's crying, he's crying so much, so let's just go a week without. No, they took care of you no matter what, so we should take care of our parents, grandparents, no matter what.
Right.
Till death do us part should be our motto. Okay, and what was her most important decision? She respected her, she was faithful, she lodged where she lodged, but what was her most important decision? Why she was a good friend. Okay, she believed on the Lord, Jehovah. She, Naomi was a good enough witness that she won her to Christ. She won her daughter-in-law to Christ. That's an important characteristic. Naomi was not always, you know, the best soul winner. You know, she said, call me no more Naomi, which means joyful, but call me Mara, which means bitter. Call me bitter. You know, that's not exactly your, you know, touching scene, right? But nonetheless, Ruth clung to her, cleaved to her. Okay, so that's the kind of friend we want. And that's the kind of friend we should be to our family members. Don't be a bad friend to your family members. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So let's be that close family member as well. All right, let's go to another one. 1 Samuel 1:24. 1 Samuel 1:24. Good or bad friend? Let's have First Samuel 1:24-27, and we'll have someone read these verses for us. Who would like to read them? Who's got it? Okay, Dawn. Okay, so was Hannah a good friend to God And to her son Samuel, or a bad friend? Good. Because she kept her vow that she promised to God. Okay, why else? Did she just leave him? For good? Take care of yourself, kid. No. What else did she do? She stood by him, she prayed for him, she waited till he was weaned, and then she would do what from year to year? Bring the next set of clothes, bring all the things he would need, and she made sure that he was a successful young servant in the temple. Okay, any other comments on Samuel and Hannah and Eli? Yes. Yeah, when he was probably about two or three, when he was weaned, he stayed with Eli. So Hannah was a good mother. She kept her promise to God. How many times we pray for things, and then when God answers our prayer, what do? We go back to normal, and we think, oh, no big deal, you know. Oh, thank you, God, and that's it. You know, or sometimes we don't even say that. And then we act like everything, you know, was just the same. Well, how does God feel when we do that? When we're imploring him, we're saying, Lord, I'll serve you if you do this for me. Lord, I will go to church more often, and I will read my Bible more often. And then we don't keep those commitments. Okay? That's like a bad friend that just forgets about God's goodness. So let us remember God's goodness to us. And thank him, and then keep our vows. Let's not make a vow and defer not to pay it. God says that you make sure you keep the vow that you have vowed. For it's better to not make a vow than to make a vow and then not pay it. So let's make sure we do that. 2 Chronicles 10. 2 Chronicles 10. Let's go to another example of friendship. Second Chronicles 10, and we'll start with verse 3, Second Chronicles 10, verse 3. So they sent and called him, Rehoboam. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, King Solomon, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And so here we see he had a choice, which friends he was going to listen to, the older friends or the younger friends. Okay, so which ones did he listen to? The older friends, the ones that were maybe 20 years older, 10 years older, or the ones that were his age? His age, okay? Now, young people, why is that a bad idea to just listen to your own friends? Okay, why do you think that might be a bad idea? Yes, let's ask the teenagers first. Let's ask the teenagers first. If you want advice on something, should you just go to your friends at school or your friends at on the job, okay? Why is that not going to be good advice? Okay, yes, you're missing out on the experience, okay? Well, here we see he forsook the counsel of the old men, took the counsel of the young men that were brought up with him, verse 9, and he said to them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke or the tax burden that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins, than his thigh. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. Okay, so that's what his friends told him to say. Verse 12, let's see how that turns out. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day. Okay, are you going to lower our taxes or not? As the king bade, says, come again to me on the third day. Verse 13, the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by Ahijah the Shilonite, to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw it, the king would not hearken unto them. The people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, or the taxes. And the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. So he sent his tax collector to go collect the taxes from the 10 northern tribes. How'd that go for the tax collector? Not too well. Okay. They did not want any taxes. They split from Judah. Okay, so let's take some lessons from this, young people. Why do you think your friends might not have the best answers to give you advice on, especially on important life decisions, where you go to college, what you should go into, if you should marry someone or if you should court them or not? Why do you think your friends shouldn't be the ones you go to for that? Jonathan? Are you? No? Okay. Yeah, Simon? What's that? Yeah, they didn't happen to them yet. They didn't get married yet. They're not going to be the overflowing wisdom cup of marriage. They have no clue. They're in the same boat as you. Okay, well, so who should you talk to about that? Whether you should court someone or not. Someone older. Good. What is courting as opposed to dating? Dating is a loose term that just means what? Just go out with this person because she's pretty, or this person because he's handsome. And well, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, but I like them. You know, that's dating. Dating is very shallow. And it's in a short relationship, and then you're out of it. And in another short relationship, then you're out of it. Is that wise as teenagers to do? No, it's not wise. Every time you date someone, you're actually giving a piece of your what? Your heart to them, your emotions to them. Okay, so it's important to guard your heart, keep your heart, and don't give it away so easily. Now, there may be someone who's a good match, but you should take it very slow, and you should talk to your parents about it. Okay, so make sure you keep everything through your parents, and they will help you with those relationship questions that you have. All right, why else might not it be a good idea to talk to your friends? So courting is literally for the purpose of marriage. You say, you know what, I'm not going to just date around and lose my heart in all kinds of different people's hearts, and I'm not going to, you know, break my heart up and give a portion to this person, a portion to that person. I'm going to save it all for the one that God would have for me. And most of the time, that works out really well, that you can save yourself for that one person. Sometimes, you know, even the one person you think might be the one God has for you, sometimes things can change. But by and large, courting is a great way to protect your heart as opposed to dating, which is not protecting your heart. Okay? All right, so what do you think? Why is it not good to go to your friends about other areas? The college. Because they're going through it too, right? I like Savon's answer. They're going through, they don't know what they're doing yet either. You know? What about other things in life? Talk to your parents. Your parents are your most important resource to go to. Okay, it's the most important resource. And make sure you listen to their wisdom. Okay, talk to someone older than you, wiser than you. Talk to your church family as well. If your parents aren't saved, you know, talk to someone in the church. And especially if it's about a spiritual matter. Okay, but your parents are always going to be the go-to person first. Okay, let's go to last one, John 13, 1. Okay, who can read that one for us? Okay.
Now therefore the feast of the Passover, and Jesus knew that the hour was come, that he should be prepared for out of this world unto the Father, and allow his own people in the world to love them unto the end.
Okay, so how was Jesus as a friend to his disciples? Yes? Easy one. Good friend. Okay, Jesus was a good friend. He was a friend that sticketh closer than a brother to Peter, to James, to John, to us today. He is still our best friend. Still our best friend. And so we can go to him about any problem we have. You say, well, I don't know. You know, I don't have many friends. Well, Jesus is our most important friend. We need to pray to him all through the day. Read our Bibles. Gain his wisdom. We're going through Proverbs on Sunday morning. And we see there's so much wisdom in Proverbs about so many situations of life. It's all there. If we will just open it and read it and listen to God's wisdom and advice. And then as you pray, he will give you answers to prayer. He'll give you direct ways to go. He'll close one door. He'll open another. Or he'll give you a thought or something in the Bible. Or as you're sleeping at night, he'll give you some kind of thought about a certain situation that will never contradict this book. If any of your dreams ever contradict this book, or if any of your thoughts you think are from God contradict a portion of Scripture, then that thought wasn't from God, it was from the devil. Okay, so let's make sure all the things that we talk to God about are right here in the Bible. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs 18:24 tonight. Proverbs 18:24, we're going to look at a few verses from Proverbs, how to gain friends. How many want to just keep the friends you have and not ever get a new friend the rest of this year? Okay, that's your goal in life. Just keep the ones you have, never gain a new friend. We're always in the process of losing friends, whether they move away, whether, you know, something else happens, you know, so friends that we've had maybe for a while, well, maybe they're moving, or maybe they're something else is happening. So we're always going to be losing friends at times, you know, or maybe not having as close of interaction with them. So it's always important to keep gaining friends too, because we need to make friends for Jesus as well. Proverbs 18:24, who would like to read that one for us? How do we gain new friends? Who's got it? Okay, go ahead.
A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Okay, good. So how do we get a new friend? Okay. How would you want a friend to treat you? Be that kind of friend then. Okay? If you want someone who takes personal interest in you, then you take that same personal interest in them, and guess what? They're going to reciprocate. Okay? It's not hard to gain a new friend if you do it the right way. But some people, they're abrupt with everyone. Oh, no, I don't want, you know, oh, I don't have time to talk to them. You know, and they don't, I don't have time to talk to this person. I don't have time to talk to them. And they wonder, where's all my friends, you know? Well, it's because you don't have time for anybody else. You never include anyone in your life, and so you're never going to gain new friends. So we've got to open up our life and open up our doors to let people know, hey, I care about you, and I'm going to let you in. Okay, so we've got to show ourselves friendly if we want more friends. Okay, that's important. So number one, be a friend who, a friendly person who encourages others. Okay, that's an instant way to gain friends, is if you're encouraging. Okay, that not always criticizing, but encouraging them. And that will help you to gain their friendship. Okay, my dad, he made friends very easily. So I got to watch him make friends. You know, he could go up to a complete stranger and, you know, shake their hand and talk for a few minutes, and instantly he had a new friend. Well, my dad has a special gift that way. You know, if you have the gift of mercy, you have a good, easy way of making friends. That's one of the seven giftings of the Spirit. So we'll briefly look at that. Okay, the gift of mercy over here on the Romans 12:8 is where that one is. Okay, there's prophecy, which is someone who just speaks forthrightly, and they're not afraid to talk. That's the gift of prophecy. They're forthright in their speaking. They're always making sure things are safe and right and wrong. If anything's wrong, they'll tell you about it. You know, that's someone with the gift of prophecy. They're a speaker. Then there's the gift of teaching. They love to research and teach. Then there's the gift of serving, which is someone good with working with their hands, hands-on. They like to use their brain to figure out tasks. They're willing to try anything new. Okay, that's someone with the gift of service. Okay, then there's someone with the gift of giving. Okay, they like giving of their time, talents, possessions, etc. They'll give you some time or to help with something or whatever they can. If they have it, they'll be willing to help you with it. Then there's the gift of ruling. The gift of ruling is like a management person, someone who sees jobs and loves to coordinate people to get those jobs done. And then the last one is exhortation. That's an encourager or a rebuker. They love dealing with people, and they can rebuke and encourage very well. Okay, they take special interest in people all day long, and they have no problem making friends as well. But the gift of mercy is someone who makes sure everyone is loved and is loving. Okay, they're most concerned with if everyone is being loved and if everyone's being accepted in the group. And if someone's being slighted over here, they're going to go instantly to that person who's being slighted. Oh, are you okay? Hey, do you have a prayer request I can pray for? And they're the ones really concerned about the ins and outs of their life, just like an exhorter, only a little bit differently. That's the gift of mercy. Now, the gift of mercy can also have its downside if you're so pulled into everyone's life. Sometimes they get pulled into someone who's in sin's life, and they keep trying to show mercy, and the person in sin pulls them down and says, "Ah, well, you've got to help me. Yeah, I'm making sinful choices, but you come down here with me." And they bring the person with the gift of mercy down with them. There's times when the gift of mercy just has to say, "Nope, you know what? You're not wanting God's help. You're just being selfish, and I can't help you anymore." You know, that's hard for someone with the gift of mercy to do, to say no to someone who's loving, and or to someone who's feeling rejected or down and out, etc. So whatever gift you have, make sure you're using it in the Spirit and not in the flesh. If you use it in the flesh, you'll have problems. Use it in the Spirit, being Spirit-filled, and it will be a blessing. So my dad could make friends really easily because he had the gift of mercy. He could immediately sympathize and empathize with anyone, you know, whatever people were dealing with, and he'd pray with them, and people loved that, and he could make friends real easy. I have a different gifting, so it's not quite as easy for me. But whatever your gifting is, we can make friends by just being loving, caring, encouraging individuals, and at times rebuking them. Proverbs 27:17. Let's go over there. Proverbs 27:17. Okay, this is in Romans 12:6-8. If you want to look up the gift, it's still for today. That's in Romans 12:6-8. All right. Who has it? Proverbs 27:17. Okay. Go ahead. Okay, so what else are we to do as a good friend?
We're to be friendly. Okay, and then secondly, from this verse, what are we to do? Sharpen them. What does that mean, sharpen? How does iron sharpen iron? Good. It's rubbing. It's at times grating. You know, my dad would always sharpen our knives by using that, the one piece of iron that was just a bar. And then the other, and he'd take that knife that was made of iron as well, and he'd come along it, and he would just go back and forth and keep taking those two pieces of iron against each other. And amazingly, the knife would get sharper and sharper. Well, was that an easy process for the knife? No. What was it actually doing to the knife? Cutting it. It was taking little bits of metal off of that knife. You know, is that a fun process for the knife? No, but it was a necessary process for the knife because it made it sharper, better, and easily usable. Okay, so at times we're going to have to, once we gain a friend, okay, first thing you do when you meet someone, you know, if you want them to be your friend anyway, don't immediately say, hey, you're doing this wrong, you know. No, you want to probably come in it with a positive angle, encouraging angle, on those things. But once you gain a friend, it's important to keep your friend accountable, okay, to make sure they know you care, okay, to sharpen them, to keep them, if they're in sin, you'd be a good friend by not just saying, oh, yeah, I see that big zit on your face, you know, that's a big sin. I'm not going to tell you about it, you know. I'm not going to, I don't care, you know. Yeah, you've got makeup smeared, your eye looks like, you know, you just got out of a rainstorm, you know, smeared makeup all down your eye, but I'm not going to tell you about it. You look great, you know. What kind of friend would that be, you know, if you did that to your friend? If they looked in a mirror, what are they going to say to you? Why didn't you tell me? I look horrible. I'm never going to go out in public again. Right, Sahara? Okay, so take it from Sahara. If you want to be Sahara's friend, point out if she's got a makeup smear or run, you know? Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So keep our friend accountable to sharpen them. Okay, then Proverbs 27:6. Okay, and this is what husbands need to do for wives as well. To be the best friend, to be the best kind of spouse, you've got to sharpen them. But as well, you have to keep on loving them. See, sometimes it's easy to point out our spouse's weaknesses and their failures, but it's not as easy to encourage. Well, that's a problem too. That means you're doing one without the other, and that's not being good. That's not being biblical. God says He 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine. That's positive, that's teaching, for correction. That's negative, that's changing a direction, for reproof. That's once again, that's now taking them to the right direction, for instruction in righteousness. That's positive, that's training. Okay, so God's word does two positives and two negatives for us. How are you doing in your marriage, or with your children, or with your spouse, or with your brother or sister, or with your kids, or with your parents? Are you doing the same proper ratio? Two positives, two negatives? Or are we doing all negative, and that's why our spouse doesn't want to talk to us anymore? Or are you doing all positives, where it's just like, wait, you're just trying to butter me up. You're flattering me. I don't believe you anymore. Okay, so we've got to keep it balanced and biblical. Okay, Proverbs 27:6. Who's got that? Who's got it? Okay, go ahead.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
Okay, so what should we also be doing as friends? Being friendly, sharpening. Being truthful, good. Truthful with our friends. If they're in sin, make sure you tell them they're in sin so that they can, so you can get them out of it. If they are doing something wrong, if they have something, like we said before, egg on their face, make sure you tell them you have egg on their face and help them get out of it. Okay, Sahara? okay? Yes. Okay, that's important. You know, don't be envious of your friend if they're more attractive than you are, or if they're better at, you know, fixing things than you are, you know, for the guys, you know, or they have more tools than you. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Don't congratulate them. Cheer them on. Hey, that's great. I'm glad you're better at that than me. You know, I'm going to come to you when I need that. You know, and they're going to come to us for our strengths, okay? So encourage them in their strengths and in the things they can do better than us. Okay, then lastly, Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. Looking at friendship tonight. There was a gentleman, as you're finding that, there was a gentleman residing in the fashionable part of London and thoroughly carried away with the follies of society life. He was walking down the street one day with a Christian woman of his acquaintance. He turned to her and asked, "How is it that you religious people are always trying to rob us of our pleasure? I enjoy life, and I can't see why you should forever be trying to rob me of what pleasure this short life affords." The woman replied, "You are greatly mistaken if that is what you think. We do not want you to give up anything, but to receive." The gentleman kept thinking of the word receive. It refused to leave him. Not long after, he called on the woman, told her his life was miserable, and asked what he must do to receive peace of soul and joy of heart. She led him to the Savior, where he found pardon and joy he had never known before. See, the world can only give us short satisfaction that is empty and goes away, whereas Jesus gives us lasting peace and joy.
Right.
And that's what we're telling our lost friends about. Ephesians 4:32, who has it? Okay, go ahead. Okay, so what's the last attribute of being a good friend? Kind and forgiving. Okay, if they wrong us, what should we do? Write them off? Oh, you're not my friend anymore. No. Make a record of it? Oh, you did this to me last week, so I'm not going to do this for you this week. No, we should be kind and forgiving toward them the same way that Christ is for us. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to be reminded of these great truths regarding friendships. Lord, we thank you that you are our very best friend, that you have given your Son, Jesus, to be our Savior, and that you want to walk with us through life as our Heavenly Father and our very best friend. Lord, help us to love you and to value your wisdom from your Word more than anyone else in our life, that we would run to you first each day through the Word of God and through prayer. And Lord, help us to then be a friend to others and to make friendships for eternity, by not just winning them to ourselves, but winning them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we will find out how the kids are doing here, and then bring them in.
All right, Houston, we are ready.
Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God
and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Good job. Excellent. Anyone else?
Share. How about the story, girl?
Okay. Sarah? 2:14:18. Something to God. The if you drive more towards God,
what?
The devil will flee from you. I was listening.
Well, that's the right idea, but it's not the right verse. Who can say it right?
Azaria, can she just said it?
No, I didn't.
Layla, you know what I think.
Yelling.
Alright, Lydia?
10:4:7:8. Three. Submit unto God. Submit therefore unto God. I forget a word, but.
Resist
the devil and he shall flee from you.
Very good.
4:7:4.
And what was that story? What was the main topic that story was about, Messiah?
It was about self-control.
Self-control, right. And why is it important to have self-control? I didn't mean to take it over. Sorry. Am I okay? Why is it important, Layla, to have self-control?
So that you don't get yourself into the wrong situation.
Right, because those situations may have, what? Three words that follow you the rest of your day.
Self-consequences.
Right. Okay.
Anybody earn a badge? Mike, I got a Kara. Are you almost done your book?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Okay. Keep it up. If you have any questions, see Mrs. Lepidus and Mrs. Gibson about that. All right. Then, Mrs. Carson's class, come on up. Okay, come on up there. Elizabeth wanted to say her verse. Go ahead. Say your verse. Do you need Mrs. Lepidus to help you?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse. In your book. Show your book. Close in prayer at this time. I know we have snacks in there for the kids, so I'm sure.
as we heard the message tonight, Lord, I pray that you just speak to our hearts as we leave. Let it not so easily be plucked from our hearts, our minds, let us meditate and learn from it, Father God, be Lord, better Christians, better husbands, wives, children, obedient to the parents, Lord, most of all, better Christians, service to you. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you would protect us as we travel, as we go our separate ways, Lord, be with us, get us home safely to our houses. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you bring us back to the meeting place on Sunday, Lord, refreshed, revived, ready to hear your word, ready to change. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Remember the work day, Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Come on out and help us out. We can help with the trash. We need a couple.